Thank you, Brother Carter, and appreciate my church. I get to preach whenever I'm back in the States in many places, and I'm not ashamed to tell any of them that Landmark Baptist Church is my church. And I just want people to know that I have an anchor, and I have a pillar and ground that keeps me straight. Amen? And it's a blessing, the troubles and trials we've gone through over the years. I've been able to call Brother Carter, and he's always been an encouragement and a help to us and given good advice, and we appreciate that. And we appreciate you folks. Many of you pray for us. Many of you help us when you can, and we just appreciate all that. This makes it, every time I come back, I just look forward to this time, just walking into Landmark and seeing you folks and shaking your hands and listening to you tell me that you're praying for me, and I believe you are. And God has brought us through some pretty hard times, especially over the last couple of years, and we just appreciate you folks being with us and standing behind us. If you would, take your Bibles and open them to Jeremiah chapter number 33. Jeremiah chapter number 33. And we'll read verses 1 through 3. Let's go ahead and go on down to verse number 5, 1 through 5. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men, whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help me to deliver this message the way you'd have it delivered. I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Pray, Lord, that you give me clarity of thought and speech. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see the reality of the battle that we're in and be able to endure the hardness that's going to come with the battle. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember what a privilege it was when I realized that God had called me to preach. A great privilege. Probably my favorite character in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, is Jeremiah. I don't know if it's because I can relate to him so much. We named Jeremiah because of the book of Jeremiah. Maybe because he wept so much whenever he was a child. We called him the weeping prophet, amen. But that's probably my fault because of all the spankings he got, all right? But Jeremiah was my favorite. I don't know why he attracted my attention early on after I was saved. You read about Jeremiah, you read the story of Jeremiah, and chapter 1's real encouraging. Jeremiah is right off the bat, before he was formed in the belly, God said, I called you. Amen. But what a blessing to know that before you were ever formed, before you were ever born, before you were ever saved, God had a plan for your life. And everybody in this room God has a plan for your life. He said, not only that, he says, I'm going to make you an iron pillar. I mean, you're going to stand when nothing else is going to stand. He's coming into the kingdom at a bad time. Now, he starts in the 13th year of Josiah. And we know about Josiah. Josiah presided over a great revival. But if you really study the revival under Josiah, he was probably the most complete reformer that there ever was, yet it was only superficial. On the death of Josiah, immediately, The nation fell back into apostasy and heresy. It was an awful time. Yes, there were 17 good years in which Jeremiah was being prepared for the next 22 bad years. And the times were going to get hard. And they were probably even hard during this time, during the early times. But here we find Jeremiah in the court of the prison. He spent a lot of time in the prison and in the court of the prison. Why was that? Well, what God did not tell Jeremiah right off was that it's wonderful to be called, but sometimes what I'm calling you to do isn't all that pleasant. And Jeremiah had a message to preach, and it wasn't a pleasant message. It wasn't a Joel Osteen positive Jesus loves you message. It was a message that was fit for the time in which he preached. By the way, the message is pertinent for today. The message is not a pleasant message. It's not a positive message. It's a message that, listen, get right or God's going to judge you. Pretty soon it was transformed. It wasn't get right or God is going to judge, but get right, but God's still going to judge you. Even if you do get right. Jeremiah had a hard job. He had to preach a message that was very unpopular. You know what his message was? I just read it today in the book of Jeremiah. You know what his message was? Thus saith the Lord, surrender.
Yes.
Give up. Go out to the Chaldeans. Can I bring it down to today's terms? Let the Muslims institute Sharia law. Ooh, it got quiet there, didn't it? That wouldn't be a very popular message today, would it?
Right.
I'm not saying that's the message we should preach today. I'm just saying that's what God's saying. Go out to them. Yeah, you're going to be carried off into their country, and you're going to be forced to watch their idol worship. You're no longer going to be able to serve God the way you used to be able to serve. How did they serve God in Israel? At the temple. For 70 years, they didn't get to serve God at the temple. God's about to judge this country.
Yes.
In Jerusalem and Israel. He's in the court of the temple right now. He's watching the destruction going on around him. I believe in the context that we're reading right here. It's the Chaldeans are in the city. They're destroying the houses. They're destroying everybody. In chapter 39, Nebuzaradan finds Jeremiah in the court of the temple. And he takes him out of the city and he gives him some food and he gives him a reward and says, I'll tell you, go wherever you want to go now. But it was a hard time.
Yeah.
Can I say this? I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm called to preach. And if you're saved or newly saved, I got some words of encouragement for you. You know what they are? In the world, you shall have tribulation.
Right.
Now that's encouraging, isn't it? That's not what Joel Osteen will tell you. But in the world, now that you're saved, now that you've given your life to Christ, now that you're going to serve God, there's going to be some hard times.
Yes.
Things are not always going to be rosy. You know, I've been in Romania for almost 20 years. As a matter of fact, 19 years to the day. Today was the day in 1995 I stepped off the airplane in Romania for the first time. June 1st, 1995. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. But listen, there's going to be hard times. It's not going to be all easy. If you got saved thinking that life was going to get better, You've been sadly misinformed. It's going to get better someday, believe me. When the Lord cleans it all up, or when we're taken out of here, it's going to get better. But on this earth, we're not to be looking for it to get better. Look at the context of this, what we're looking at. He says, he's shut up in the court of the prison saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it. To establish it. The Lord is his name. By the way, he owns it all. He's the maker. And if something bad is going on in your life, God allowed it.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise to Him.
But
if you're going through a trial today, it's not His fault, but He knows all about it.
Yeah.
And He let it happen.
Yeah.
That's what life is all about. It's amazing that in the middle of this passage that I just read, He throws in verse number 3. The college student's favorite verse. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Should have studied, shouldn't you? But there's always this prayer. Amazing the tricks you learn in college. You college professors, you can close your ears right now. I'm not one right now. I remember whenever I was in Bible college, they said, now you got to read over this book. So I just put a book over it and I read over it. My son Nathaniel the other night said, yeah, they told us we had to read through the New Testament. So he put his Bible up like this and he made a little ball out of it and he read through it. There you go. You professors better check on that. Amen. Call unto me. Things are going to get hard. Call unto me. Things are going to get bad. Call unto me. Says, I got a word from the Lord for you, Jeremiah. The houses are going to get thrown down. The army's going to get massacred. People are going to die in the streets. Women are going to be ripped up and babies are going to be dashed against the walls. We think we have it bad, but listen, I don't know that we've ever seen this. I don't think that we've ever experienced this kind of grief and sorrow. Jeremiah, if you'll read the first chapter of Lamentations, he's talking about what's going on in the city. And oh man, he's weeping as he walks through the city, seeing the destruction and the problems. Oh, it's a sad sight. The beautiful city. The joy of the whole earth, it was called. It's bad. You know, sometimes you look at your own life and you look around you and it just looks like it's all ruins and rubble. Nothing's going right. Have you ever had a time in your life when you've had that? You think it's bad, then it gets worse. You think it can't get any worse, and it does. You know, it could always get worse.
Yes.
And sometimes it will. And you say, where did I go wrong? What did I do? By the way, the reason all this happened is because of sin. You know, Jeremiah, I imagine Jeremiah is grieving as much as anybody else. It wasn't Jeremiah's sin that caused it all, by the way. But it was a sin of the people. And he had to go through it in spite of the fact that he did not participate in the apostasy that was going on. And a lot of the problems that we're seeing around us, we're fighting against it. And why won't people listen to us? You know, Jeremiah, as preacher said, sometimes the way we measure the success of a ministry may not necessarily be
right.
All the time. The book of Jeremiah is a great encouragement to me. And how could that be an encouragement to me? Because in spite of all the wreckage and ruin we see around us, God's still going to get the glory in the end. God's got a plan.
Yes.
I don't... Where I went to Bible college, I was taught how to succeed. I was taught how to do great works for God. They forgot to teach me how to fail. They used to say to us in Bible college, if you ever get discouraged, God will never use you. I've got a lot of friends I went to Bible college with that aren't in the ministry. You know why? They got discouraged.
Right.
And they were taught, if you ever get discouraged, God's not going to use you. Boy, I tell you what, I'm glad God can use discouraged people. Amen. Jeremiah got discouraged. He said, God, you've deceived me. I'm not going to speak anymore in your name. I'm not going to say anything else. I'm just going to shut up. And the fire was in his bones. He couldn't stay. He had to go on. People are going to get discouraged. You're going to get... Now, I know there's different personality types. But listen, don't let the devil teach you. Thomas Edison, 1,000 tries at the white bulb. Finally got it right.
Yeah.
Says, well, Mr. Edison, how did you feel all those times you failed? He says, I didn't fail 1,000 times. I just found 1,000 ways you can't do it.
David.
I've been in Romania. I've found 1,000 ways you can't do it over there too. Amen? Hey, listen. Yeah, things are not going to be as rosy. We don't measure. You look at the ministry of Jeremiah. You follow him through there. How big was Jeremiah's church? How many converts did he have? Boy, everywhere he went, he got in trouble. Every time he opened his mouth, they tried to throw him in jail. He would send them warnings. He would meet with the kings. And he had the ear of the king, but every time he'd tell the king what to do, the king would turn around and do the opposite thing. Boy, that's a successful ministry. He went on down, and after the city was destroyed, they gathered up a small remnant, and they were all doing well. And then there was a little feud between two groups in the country, and the few that was left out of that feud, they said, Jeremiah, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to stay here in the land, or should we go down to Egypt? And he said, stay in the land. So they went to Egypt. And they took him with them. We see the verse number 3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee. In the life of Jeremiah, did he ever see the answer? Think about it. Call unto me. The houses are all thrown down. Now later on in the chapter, he says, I'm going to build them all back up. And it's going to be beautiful here. And it's going to be just like there's going to be joy in the streets. And there's going to be laughter and children playing. But did Jeremiah ever see that? Sometimes the labor we do, we don't see the fruit of that labor right now.
No.
Oh man, we're so results oriented. And we need to be. It's nice to see the fruit from your labor, but sometimes you're not going to see that.
Man.
I think about a man, his name was William McCraw. You never heard of him, have you? He had a little church out on Arch Street in Little Rock, Arkansas. Outside, a little bit outside of Little Rock. It was meeting in like a double-wide mobile home with the insides all cleared out. And he came by my house. I was about 15 years old maybe, with an old bus. And he started picking up my sisters. Pretty soon my sisters started pestering me, and I went with them one Wednesday night. And boy, I heard something I never heard before. I heard the Word of God preached by somebody who really believed it.
Amen.
Little old independent Baptist church, Bible Baptist church. I stayed in that church for about a year. I left. Went down to Florida for a while. And while I was gone, that church closed. He got discouraged. Didn't want to fight it anymore. Didn't want to worry with the payments, and didn't have enough people to make the help with the tithes and everything. And so he closed the church up and moved to be an associate pastor at another church. Later on, he went up to Paragould, Arkansas. Tried to start a church up there. That fell through. He went out to the panhandle of Texas, pastored out there for about 5 years in a little church none of you have ever heard of. And he's moved around from place to place over the years. Now he's down in Texas somewhere, maybe in the Dallas area, I think, teaching in a school, helping kids with special needs. I think if he looked back over his ministry, he'd probably say, I hadn't done much for the Lord in my ministry. I'm not a well-known great preacher. I don't know if he even knows about me, but because of him, I'm here today.
Amen.
One much. He may not have ever seen. He called, "Lord, just give me one person that'll go out and do something for God." He probably has forgotten about me. I kind of fell off by the wayside, but God picked me up and He took me on in my life. Listen, everything may be falling apart around you. Life may be hard. You know what they say about us in Romania, especially Americans? It says, you Americans, you got your golden parachute. You know what a golden parachute is? It's a way out. It says, times get hard over here in Romania, all you got to do is bail out on us and you can go back to the States. You know, where the streets are paved with cheese and there's no cats. There's a turkey in every pot. Everything's fine over here. No problems. So you can just bail out. And a lot of missionaries have bailed out on Romania. We went over to Romania in 1995 thinking that everything was just hunky-dory. It's rosy. And, you know, you talk to somebody, they're just going to get saved. And, you know, early on they did, but prosperity came. It's not like that anymore. It's like Europe. Europe is hard. I wish that God had sent me to the Philippines.
Yeah.
I wish He had sent me to Africa or Mexico. But God chose to send me to Romania. Last 2 or 3 years, I've looked around at my ministry, and sometimes all I see is the rubble. By the way, if you go and you go to help somebody in the ministry, leave it better than you found it.
Yep.
Don't leave a smoking crater when you leave. Amen? Just, that was free, okay? But listen, sometimes I've looked around and I've wondered what has happened in my ministry. Why is it not going the way I thought it was going to go? I've been punched in the face over the last 6 months. Had a guy punch me in the face twice in the same night. I'm not very smart. I can't see that left hook coming. Christmas, we go to church. And I've passed out flyers all over town. Everybody that comes gets a new Bible, leather-bound Bible, and a music CD with good Christian music on it. Show up on Sunday night, and I can't get in the church building because somebody stuffed my keyhole full of plastic stirring spoons for coffee. And it's 10 below zero, so we're not having church outside for very long. I even had visitors that night. Oh, how embarrassing. Had a short message, a word of prayer, and sent them home. The visitors never came back. That's discouraging. Then the guy punched me out the next week, twice. Like I say, I'm not very smart. Easter comes. Easter morning, boy, we're getting ready for our service and get to church. People are waiting on us. Put the key in and it's blocked again. Can't get into church on Sunday morning. What a disappointment. We've made the decision now to go ahead and close that building up, and we've moved to another building to get out of that neighborhood. What's God doing? Why is everything in rubble around me? Has God forgotten about me? Is God through with me? You know, you look at the circumstances around you, and you can say, well, I guess I'll put my golden parachute on and go back to America. Folks, I don't believe that's what God wants me to do. I've counseled with Brother Carter about it and talked to him. He says, just move somewhere else. Amen? You know, God's had me there for almost 20 years. I know the language. My kids know the language. We've got people. I run into people all over town. And it's an encouragement. At least I can see a little bit of fruit. Boy, Brother Jim, I remember when I was a teenager in your church and all the things you taught us. I remember you taking us to camp and me getting saved at camp. We go to a different church now, but we sure appreciate you. Praise the Lord for those kind of testimonies. Let me say this. It's not always going to go the way you want it to go. But what's God looking for? One thing I notice about Jeremiah, he got discouraged. Sometimes he got a little bit mad at God. But there was a fire in his bones. And folks, I want to have a fire in my bones. I want to just keep going. Whenever I went to candidate school back in 1992, they did some testing on us. They gave us these quizzes and word tests to figure out what personality types we were. I don't know how valuable that stuff is, but when they brought us into the office to talk to us about what we're going to, what kind of personality we are or whatever, they just looked at me and they said, "You're a plotter." I didn't know if that was an insult or if that was... Says, "You're just going to plod along. You're just going to keep going and going and going. You're not going to make a great big impression. You're not going to be a flash in the pan. You're not going to shine brightly. But you're just going to keep going. I hope that I do that. Yeah. I just want to keep going. Yeah. I may not ever see the results of my ministry in my lifetime, but I think I will see them someday." Jeremiah said, God told Jeremiah, "Call unto me and I will answer thee." You know, God's not a liar. And God never fails. Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier. Keep calling out. What am I going to do, Lord? Well, I'm just going to keep going. I don't know how many times I've sat with a missionary that's discouraged in Romania. I talked to one a couple of years ago. He said, "I think God's done with me here. I think I'm just through here." I said, "Brother, what's going to happen in the village that you live? Who's going to be a light there when you're gone? Who's going to learn the language that you've learned? Who's going to replace you?" You know, we can still shine. Even if nobody wants to see us shine, we can still shine. We can still go on. And let me encourage you. You know, if you just got saved, your friends at work are probably making fun of you. Your family is probably pushing on you to try to get you to see what you're going to do. Just keep on going. Don't give up. God hasn't given up on you. Don't give up on God. Amen. "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I don't know that I've ever done anything great or mighty, but maybe someday, I know someday I'm going to see the result of my work. Amen. I talked to one of the missionaries who works with gypsies, and I've principally worked with gypsies over the years. One of the most disappointing works you could ever do. And I talked to him, and he said, "You know, I've kept works going longer than I should have among the gypsies. Sometimes God just wants you to have a work among them for a while so that they will not have an excuse when they stand at the judgment seat saying nobody ever told us. Tell it again. They won't listen to you here. Go somewhere else." Amen. There's other people that haven't heard. Keep on going. Don't give up. It's not easy. It's not easy sometimes to be alone. It's not easy sometimes to suffer. But God wants you to keep going. He doesn't want you to quit. Jeremiah said, God told Jeremiah, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Look, move on down if you would. Verse number 6, chapter 33. "Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth, and I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first, And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy and praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. It's coming. Someday we're going to see the end of it. Someday, listen, when's that going to be? Well, I tell you this, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Just be assured. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But it is going to get better. And we are going to see the final result and the end of our labor. And it's going to be better than we ever imagined. It's going to be better than it was at the first. What you going to do? What are we going to do? Just stay with it. Just keep on the firing line, as I said earlier. Amen? Stay with it. Oh, nobody understands what you're doing. Your family probably doesn't appreciate it. And sometimes even your closest friends and even people in the ministry may not understand it. But just keep doing what the Lord wants you to do as revealed in His Word. And it's going to get better someday. We may not see it in this lifetime. Jeremiah didn't. But he was given a promise. Call unto me, and I will answer and show thee.